Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson, Mike Costantino is here. I can see. He's actually physically here. Yeah.
Well, I have to wait to remind you that I'm here.
We call this program Spark, from Arab Spring to Occupy Wall Street. But it's sort of Occupy everywhere now, right, Mike?
Yeah, the Occupy, from Arab Spring to American Autumn seems to be catching on a little bit as far as a catchphrase goes. Yeah.
Let's talk about Arab Spring.
Yeah.
What happens? How does it start? Well, it begins with a fruit vendor in a small town in Tunisia, one of the smaller Arab countries, population about 10 million people. His father dies when he's 3. From the time he's 10 years old, he makes a living selling vegetables and fruit. There's no Social Security. There's no survivor's benefits. You know, your breadwinner dies, you've got a serious problem. He's not the only member that supports his family, but he's the main one. On December 17th, 2010, he pushes his apple cart, fruit cart, a mile and a half to where he's going to sell it, and the police confiscate his product. Confiscate his fruit. They take his fruit. He doesn't really fight. He doesn't really argue with them. His proudest possession is a little electronic scale by which he measures stuff that he sells.
He wouldn't pay them a bribe.
He wouldn't pay them a bribe. And frankly, in a lot of the third world folks, it's just pay bribe, pay bribe, pay bribe. And it's going to turn out there's actually no law that he has to have a permit to sell vegetables. They've been ripping him off for years. It's just too much. He's borrowed $200 to buy the vegetables for his cart. He's furiated. He's humiliated publicly. He goes to get his to government to get his grievances redressed. He goes to basically the city hall, and they just sort of throw him out. They won't have anything to do with him. They won't even talk to him. He sets himself on fire. It's December 17th. His friends start protesting. The protests spread. Demonstrations spread. President of Tunisia has been in power for 23 years, not exactly the most elected guy on the block either, and he threatens to punish the protesters. So the end of December, the president is threatening to punish these protesters. January 14th, 2011, the president of Tunisia flees the country to Saudi Arabia. It takes less than a month for a government that's been in power for 23 years to be overthrown. The protests spread to Egypt, to Libya, Yemen, all across the Middle East. A situation, the reason they call it Arab Spring is it's one authoritarian government after another. They've been in power for decades and decades.
And they're making the connection between the Occupy Wall Street crowd and the Occupy America, the Occupy Phoenix, the Occupy Sedona. These protesters are making a connection that the motivations of Arab Spring are the motivations for American Autumn.
There's income inequality. There's disenfranchisement. Whether they have phony elections or not, the rich guys control the election, so it doesn't really matter. People are disaffected, and I think people are disaffected here in the U.S. That's one thing they have in common.
Absolutely, a 6.7% decline in median income in the last 2 years. So that could be. I'm going to flash forward now to September 17th, 2011, when the first protesters went into Zuccotti Park in New York City. You talked about December 17th in 2010. Now I'm talking about September 17th in 2011 when Occupy Wall Street began. Now, Adbusters, that Canadian magazine, which I'm familiar with, our teacher, David Lash, bless his heart, had copies of it all over the place because they were beautifully graphic
So you didn't read Adbusters in a political science
not as,
class.
Not as a political science. But I just want to read quickly the quote from their website is that they call themselves, this is right off the top of their website, which is fascinating. We are a global network of culture jammers and creatives working to change the way information flows, the way corporations wield power, and the way meaning is produced in our society. But anyway, they registered the Occupy Wall Street name. And it has since spread. So Occupy Wall Street started with 1,000 people on September 17th. And then it was treated.
Doesn't Hidalgo Rivera?
Yeah.
Doesn't he go there and there's only a few hundred people and he says, this is not Arab Spring because there's not like thousands of people in Tahrir Square?
Well, he made a great point at the time. This is about 10, 11 days ago where he goes there. He was one of the first, bless his heart. Keith Olbermann was first. We've got to give him his props here. From Current TV that covered it on September 19th, 2 days after they began. But somewhere in there, and he said, yeah, he went there to make fun of it though. He said, this is no Arab Spring because there's, 150 people walking around, trying to find some place to go to bathroom.
And it's exploded since.
Exactly. Now, Geraldo, are you listening? It's Arab Spring. It's at least it's comparable.
And it's spread to Europe too. This feeling of disenfranchisement, the feeling that the wealthy are manipulating the system, the feeling that the economic system is stacked so 99% of the people don't, end up with a fair share. The feeling that you can't just have runaway capitalism, you return right back to the robber baron era where terribly poor people.
I want to go back to coverage. Olbermann said, and I loved it. He said, if the Tea Party protests in front of Wall Street, it's the lead story on every national newscast across the country. These at that time, they've been out for 2 days, and they hadn't covered a thing. So September 4th, the police in Zuccotti Park, they arrest a mask-wearing protester using an 1845 law that you can't wear masks except at a masquerade party. September 22nd, 2,000 African Americans marched from Union Square to Wall Street, and once again in support of Occupy Wall Street. On day 8, at least 80 arrests were made after protesters began marching uptown, forcing closure of several streets. And we all remember the 700 people who were arrested on the Brooklyn Bridge.
When you start the protest, these kind of things happen, and they had a huge peaceful protest in Rome, and a small group of people went out on a rampage. The demonstrators even tried to stop them, but they couldn't. And so, when you do, there's always dangers and problems when you have mass protests. There are always people who might take advantage of a peaceful protest. It's rare, but it does happen.
Yeah, and that's the danger, and that's what's going to get the coverage, by the way, certainly by the right wing press.
See, I think what happened is that President Obama gets elected. Now, the right wing and the Republicans have painted a portrait of him that's totally untrue. He's a radical. He's a socialist. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. What they have in President Obama is a moderate, a guy who reaches out. His whole life is reaching across to people who disagree with him, trying to bring people together. He comes into office. He's not interested in punishing the people on Wall Street that brought us to this precipice that destroyed the American economy and it reduced people's standard of living. He's not interested in punishment. Reminds me a little bit of the Dalai Lama. Dalai Lama refers to the Chinese who are occupying his country as just being, making a mistake, being uneducated, uninformed. What Obama is interested to do is redressing the grievances. All right, you did this. Let's go on and make things better.
I had a friend say the other day, you can do racial equality all you want to. You can, and nobody's, you get applauded. But once you start addressing income inequality, you're going to get arrested, if not worse.
So he tries to put in mild reforms to Wall Street. He can't even get them in. They have enough power, frankly, to work with Democrats, with conservative Democrats, as well as Republicans. He gets some little reform in. It infuriates Wall Street. It infuriates them. It's a slap on the wrist. It's barely anything. But it infuriates them enough that they pour tens of millions and millions of dollars in defeating Obama and defeating Democrats. And they used the Citizen United decision to hide their contributions.
The one where the Supreme Court said that corporations are people.
Exactly. Corporations are people, folks.
Well, that's what I did this morning. I asked an Occupy Sedona participant and what she wanted. And she talked about, and she went straight to corporations, that corporations are not politicians, that we didn't elect them. And we don't want them running the government. It's that simple.
I saw a sign that one of the demonstrators had here in Sedona, which said, "I believe corporations are people when Texas executes one."
Yeah, that's well. Going back to your other thing, I liked Hank Williams Jr. They said, "Well, the bad news is you lost your gig on Monday Night Football because of your comment calling Obama Hitler, but you're leading in the GOP presidential poll." That's the good news.
That's it. So Obama comes in. He's not really interested in criticizing anybody. He's interested in moving us on to a better situation. But he gets this fantastic resistance. And when he gets the resistance, and when they basically stop him from putting in the reforms, months later, a year later, people wait. They're getting more and more frustrated with nothing happening. The president seems to have less power than he imagined and probably we imagined. It's all corporate behind the scenes, and they're not bad folks. They just have their own limited interest at heart.
Yeah, that's a powerful, that's their job. Powerful statement, though, that the president of the United States has less power than the corporations. But I'm going to read the list here. We got Occupy Wall Street, as you know, and is it growing? We did have Occupy Phoenix over the weekend, and they had over 1,000 people, quoting a headline in the Arizona Republic. But we have Occupy Ashland. We have Occupy Atlanta. We have Occupy Austin. We have Occupy Buffalo. Occupy Chicago. Occupy Portland. And we have Occupy Sedona occurring every week.
The Occupy Sedona protests are on 89A at Coffee Pot Road. 3 to 5 p.m. every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
It's a continuous thing, one week after another. The other thing is that they have a website on Facebook called Occupy Sedona AZ. It's been there about 2 weeks, and they already have 95 friends on it. So this thing is spread. The first demonstration they had, I think, was 4 people.
Right.
Last week they had a demonstration, 40 people. The one on Thursday had about 60 people. I'm looking at them as I drive by.
Yeah, I got an email from one of them asking, if this is any indication, I don't know that. So once again, we asked the question why, and as I said, we're talking about 9.1 unemployment rate, and most people think that's, depending on how you count it, it's more about 16%. And folks, I don't know if you've ever been unemployed. It's difficult. It's spirit robbing for sure. It steals you.
Yeah, I think we don't talk about the psychological effects. I mean, I think one reason folks get really discouraged. It's really hard on your morale.
But you're reading record oil profits, and the median family income for an American in the last 2 years has gone down 6.7%.
And you feel like blank. That's
well, you know your income has gone down 6.7%.
This week, lots of stuff going on for Democrats. If you're interested in Arab Spring, Professor Fatin Goshen is coming up to speak, and she's going to be talking about Arab Spring at the Door Breakfast. The Door Breakfast is Thursday, October 20th, and the doors open at 8 o'clock.
This Thursday.
What?
This Thursday.
This Thursday. The doors open at 8 o'clock. The cost is $11 for breakfast and gratuity.
And we interviewed her on the show, and she's interesting. She's fascinating, actually.
And we're going to have her on again. We're going to do another interview with her soon. But if you really want to hear about Arab Spring, I guess from an Arab, you know, then and a professor and a writer, this is a great breakfast to go to. The Grijalva dinner, the big fundraising dinner that the Door and Dove and all the Democrats have in
at the Hilton on the 21st.
Is at the Hilton on the 21st. This will cost you, like I said last week, folks. This is a fundraiser, and it's the big fundraiser of the year. Raul Grijalva, they have all kinds of fun auctions and crazy stuff, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Yes, it'll be Raul Grijalva is one of the few Democrats still representing anyone in Arizona.
He's one of the leading progressives in Congress. You've been
been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.